Hello and welcome to our site as we continue in our series, Demolishing Enemy Strongholds. Demolishing Enemy Strongholds. Today we're going to look at an enemy that has three faces. And those faces are jealousy, envy, and covetousness. Today we slay a three-faced enemy. An enemy that comes to us with not just one weapon, but three. As a young man, raised in the bush, I used to enjoy the odd bird shoot with my double-barreled shotgun. Well, this enemy has a triple-barreled shotgun, and his cartridges are very damaging. In hunting terminology, they contain buckshot, not just birdshot. Let's begin with a Bible reading. Turn to the Word of God in Exodus chapter 34. Exodus 34 in the Old Testament, second book of the Old Testament. And the first 14 verses. The Lord said to Moses, "Chisel out two stone tablets like the first ones, and I will write on them the words that there were on the first tablets, which you broke. Be ready in the morning, and then come up on Mount Sinai. Present yourself to me there on top of the mountain. No one is able to come with you, or be seen anywhere on the mountain. Not even the flocks and herds may graze in front of the mountain." So Moses chiseled out two stone tablets like the first ones, and went up on Mount Sinai early in the morning, as the Lord had commanded him. And he carried the two stone tablets in his hands. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and stood there with him and proclaimed his name, the Lord. As he passed in front of Moses, proclaiming, "The Lord, the Lord, compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children and their children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation." Moses bowed to the ground at once and worshipped. "O Lord, if I have found favor in your eyes," he said, "then let the Lord go with us. Although this is a stiff-necked people, forgive our wickedness and our sin, and take us as your inheritance." Then the Lord said to Moses, "I am making a covenant with you. Before all your people, I will do wonders never before done in any nation of the world. The people you live among will see how awesome is the work that I, the Lord, will do for you. Obey what I command you today. I will drive out before you the Amorites, Canaanites, Hittites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. Be careful not to make a treaty with those who live in the land where you are going, or they will be a snare among you. Break down their altars, smash their sacred stones, and cut down their Asherah poles. Do not worship any other god, for the Lord, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous God." Just so far, and may God bless his word to us this morning. Well, jealousy, envy, and covetousness, this three-faced enemy, can destroy relationships and leave a trail of damage in their wake. They can lead to all kinds of evil, these triplets of jealousy, envy, and covetousness. So let's face these destructive enemies and let's see what we're up against here. Jealousy is defined as the strong and dangerous emotion that is evoked by the denial of exclusive possession. Jealousy is evoked by the denial of exclusive possession. The words jealous and zealous have the same root in the original languages of the Bible. In the covenant of marriage, I have the right of exclusive possession of my wife, and I am exclusively hers. That exclusivity is to be jealously and zealously guarded. In that same sense, God is a jealous God. I am the Lord your God. I am a jealous God. Exodus 20 verse 5. His name is Jealous. Exodus 34:14. Do not worship any other god, for the Lord, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous God. The prophecy of Ezekiel says he is very zealous or very jealous for his holy name, Ezekiel 39 verse 25. He is also jealous for the good name and well-being of his people Israel, Zechariah 1:14, and his holy city, Jerusalem. Paul takes up this theme in writing to the Corinthian church in his second letter to the Corinthian church, chapter 11 and verse 2. I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy, he says. I promised you to one husband, to Christ, so that I might present you as a pure virgin to him. But the serpent who deceived Eve is trying to woo you away from a pure devotion to Christ. That made the Apostle Paul jealous with a godlike or godly jealousy for the Corinthian disciples. Writing to the Christians at Rome, Paul enjoins them to live such a distinctive and godly life that they provoke the unbelieving Jews to jealousy. When a Jew studies the life of a Christian, he should be jealous, for the Christian possesses what is rightly his as a Jew, his scriptures, his Saviour, his salvation. When Elijah defends his conduct, he says, I have been very zealous for the Lord of hosts. So all of this shows us that in the Bible the word jealous can be used in a good sense, even describing God himself. The same Hebrew word in the Old Testament can be translated zealous. Friend, God loves you so much this morning. He's jealous for you. That is, he loves you with a holy zeal that desires your highest good. That is why the Holy Spirit convicts us when the relationship is being threatened. But in the Bible, we're also confronted with a jealousy that is bad. You don't have to look far to see the emergence of this evil giant, do you? In Genesis 4, he is the colossus that causes Cain to kill his brother Abel. Jealousy is the cause of the first murder in the Bible. Cain was jealous for his brother because Abel's sacrificial offering was accepted by God and his agricultural offering was rejected. Cain's anger was the consequence of his jealousy. A little wonder Jesus says, if you're angry with your brother, the seeds of murder are already in your heart. The Hebrew word for jealousy is quenna, which means to be intensely red. Cain's face was flushed with a sudden rush of blood, and his anger, caused by jealousy, only subsided when he saw his brother's red blood flow in the ground. The elder brother in Jesus' parable of the prodigal misses the point and misses the party because of his jealousy. Jealous that his younger brother, who's lived an evil life for a while, actually comes home and begs his father's forgiveness, and his father throws a party for him. And the elder brother begrudgingly displays his evil heart, the jealousy that has gripped him, become a stronghold in his mind and heart. And how Satan would like us to be like elder brothers, critical, judgmental, jealous, where jealousy has a stronghold on our thinking and our actions. Joseph's brothers were jealous of him and his multicolored coat, and their jealousy led them to throw him down a well and then sell him into slavery and then lie to their father. The end of the story is a complete turnaround. Joseph is so jealous for his brother's well-being, so zealous for God's goodwill being accomplished, that he shows jealousy in a good sense. He gets them settled in a land of plenty. That was good jealousy. Jealousy in the bad sense is like a mental cancer. It distorts and throws everything out of focus. It can decimate a friendship, destroy a romance, disrupt family unity, wreck a fellowship of believers, destroy a business relationship. Jealousy can ruin churches and separate effective preachers and pastors and evangelists from each other. Professional jealousy is a terrible thing. There is a fable that tells how one day the devil came across some minor fiends trying to tempt a holy hermit. They experimented with seductions of the flesh, but got nowhere. Your methods are too crude, said the devil. Watch this. Going up to the hermit, he asked, Have you heard the news? Your brother has been made bishop of Alexandria. A scowl of malignant jealousy clouded the face of the holy man. Doctors are jealous of doctors that are more successful than they are. Lawyers are jealous of lawyers who are making more money than they are. Wives are jealous of other wives who have better husbands than they have. The Bible says King Saul kept a jealous eye on David. The king's jealousy of David made him an angry, embittered, and vengeful man, and ultimately imperiled his kingdom and his life, all because of jealousy. Meanwhile, his son Jonathan had a different jealousy, and he zealously guarded his friendship with David, and was always jealous for his friend's highest good. David and Jonathan respected and loved each other with godlike jealousy, but King Saul's jealousy was demonic. So what's the root cause of bad jealousy? The problem with bad jealousy is that it is rooted in self-centeredness. It is rooted in an unbridled ego. The more self-centered I am, the more prone to jealousy I become. It's as simple as that. Here is one definition of jealousy that I read. Jealousy is envy born out of some deep love of self. Jealousy is envy born out of some deep love of self. You have to realize that if you're a jealous person in the bad and sinful sense of jealousy, you're a self-centered person. You're not content at the core of your being. And as a Christian, you're not content at the core of your being. You're not fully surrendered to Christ. If you're constantly comparing yourself with others, you're going to harm yourself spiritually. Jesus had to rebuke Peter when he wanted to compare himself with John. But Pentecost burnt that out of him. We must compare ourselves only with Jesus, friends. Take our self-centeredness to the cross. Be willing to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And like Peter, we will then slay the giant of jealousy. John the Baptizer's disciples thought he would be jealous of Jesus' success, but no ways. John was quite content to be only a friend of the bridegroom. He added, He must increase, I must decrease. He must become greater, I must become less. If Jesus is smiling on me, I don't have to be jealous of anything or anyone. Amen. Let's look at two other related enemies, envy and covetousness. The Siamese twins of jealousy is envy. Whereas jealousy can be good in some senses, bad in others, envy doesn't really have a good side. Envy in the Bible is always bad, though it's usually more passive than active. We can be green with envy without showing it outwardly. But when things do turn green, it often means they're going rotten. Proverbs 14 and verse 30 says, Envy rots the bones. Paul, in his definition of love in 1 Corinthians 13, says, Love does not envy. Love does not envy. And in Galatians 5:21, he describes envy as a work of the flesh, a product of the old nature, our fallen nature, along with idolatry and witchcraft and drunkenness and the like. In the end, envy consumes people, and they go to the same places, sangomas and crooks and drunkards. In the church's later moral theology, envy was listed as one of the deadly sins, because it was a strong desire to possess what was not rightly yours. Envy shows a lack of contentment with what you have, and therefore a spirit of ingratitude toward God. The problem with envy, dear friends, is that if you give it an inch, it'll take a mile. In fact, it can land you up in a prison. It's called the prison of want. Have you met prisoners of want? Are you perhaps one of them? I want a better home. I want a better car. I want a better figure. I want a bit of this, I want a bit of that. Something bigger, better, faster. I want someone prettier, richer, younger. Prisoners of want. Envy will take you through that prison, and if you let it, it'll captivate you, it'll dominate you, it'll get a stronghold on you, and the devil would love to set up a stronghold of envy in your life and mine. David the shepherd says this morning, I have a secret I want to share with you. It's the secret of satisfaction. Like to know what it is? The Lord is my shepherd. And with the Lord as my shepherd, I shall not want. When I entered into fellowship with Jesus and began to feed in his green pastures and drink at his still waters, I said goodbye and good riddance to the giant of envy. Paul says, I have a secret to share with you this morning. I have learned the secret of contentment. Whether I have a lot or a little or nothing at all, the secret is the grace of Christ. Writing from prison to the Philippians, he says, by this grace I can be what God wants me to be, content. I can do what God wants me to do. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I will have what God wants me to have. My God will supply every need of mine out of his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Friend, you don't need what others have. You only need what God wants you to have. Have you noticed that materialistic people are never satisfied, always envious of those who have more? What a stupid way to live. Discontented, envious. What a terrible, destructive thing that is when we allow the devil to make it a stronghold in our minds and hearts. It doesn't mean you have to live in the gutter, but it does mean live free of clutter and be content with what you have, because your trust is in the Lord. He's your shepherd, provider, and protector, and his goodness and mercy will flank you all the days of your life. And that brings us to the third destructive element, or envy, this three-faced enemy that we face: covetousness, jealousy, envy, covetousness. Three faces of the evil titan that the enemy Satan would love to dominate our thinking and our acting. Covetousness is inordinate desire, the desire for that which really belongs to another, the craving for something that somebody else has, a jealous eagerness to possess what you do not have. Do you see why we call this evil Trinitarian giant a three-faced, interrelated person? Jealousy, envy, covetousness. They're triplets that can't be separated. Covetousness is a grave sin. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 5, Paul labels it idolatry. It diverts our attention and our affection away from God and his goodness. Covetous makes us idolaters, worshippers of mammon. And Jesus says, you cannot serve God and mammon. Covetousness is the root of so many forms of sin. The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. The Apostle Paul says to Timothy, you shall not covet, is the commandment of God. It was the sin that kept the rich young ruler out of the kingdom of heaven. Do you remember the story? A rich young ruler confronts the Lord Jesus with this amazing question. Good Master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus reads his covetous heart and says to him, sell everything that you have and give it to the poor, and come and follow me, and then you'll have life. And he went away sorrowful, because he was covetous, because he coveted his riches and was not willing to part with them. So Jesus had to part with him. He loved him, but he let him go. I wonder how many people in our world, I wonder if there's anyone listening to my voice right now, And it's actually covetousness that has a stronghold in your life. And like the rich young ruler, it's keeping you from the kingdom of God, even though Jesus loves you intensely. The sin of covetousness, one man's sin, Achan's sin, brought shame and defeat upon the whole nation of Israel. Do you remember that story in Joshua 7? Having witnessed God's stunning defeat of Jericho, a strong, fortified city, the nation of Israel was humiliated by the little dorp of Ai. Why? Because of the covetous heart of one man who stole the forbidden things. Well, how do you deal with this Trinitarian enemy of jealousy, envy, and covetousness? Like all our enemies that we face as Christians, this enemy is slain at the cross of Jesus. He is rendered powerless when the self-life is nailed to the cross. When you take up your cross daily, denying self and putting to death that which is offensive to God, and living for Jesus, grateful for the fact that God will give you everything that He wants you to have, allowing the Holy Spirit of God to dominate your life so that you love God and you love people and you are committed to the great commission of Jesus Christ to make disciples who will make disciples. That's the way you slay the giant of jealousy and envy and covetousness. So let's close by looking at this triple-faced enemy, square in the eyes, just like David looked in the eyes of the giant Goliath. And let's ask honestly, do I have a problem this morning with jealousy? Jealousy that is sinful? It was jealousy that caused the elder brother to miss the point and miss the party. Do I need to bring my jealousy to the cross of Jesus this morning? Jealousy is a mental cancer that throws everything out of focus. Is there envy in my heart this morning? Am I living as a prisoner of want, wanting this and wanting that and wanting the other? Envy rots the bones, Proverbs 14:30. I will never know contentment if I do not overcome the enemy of envy. And you overcome that enemy at the cross of Jesus, repenting of that sin, receiving forgiveness, the cleansing blood of Christ, our Redeemer, and the power of the Holy Spirit of Jesus to enable you to live victoriously over envy, jealousy, covetousness. Am I coveting what belongs to another this morning? May we bow in prayer. Do I need to bring an unsurrendered ego to the cross this morning and say, search me, O God, and know my heart today. Try me, O Lord, and know my thoughts, I pray. See if there be some wicked way in me, and cleanse me from every sin, and set me free. Father, we thank you that just as you loved every character that we read about in the Bible, just as you loved Saul of Tarsus, who was so full of so many of these destructive emotions, thank you, dear Lord, that just as you conquered Saul of Tarsus on the Damascus Road and transformed his life, delivering him from every deception and bondage of the enemy, so you can set us free this morning. And we praise you that we can make our way once again in our mind's eye to the cross of Jesus and say, thank you, Lord, for the body and blood of Christ, the one who knew no sin and yet took my sin upon himself, paid my penalty, paid my debt, bore my judgment to set me free, free from envy and jealousy and covetousness and every evil that the enemy would seek to make a stronghold in my life, to dominate my thinking and my behavior and destroy my potential and make me a captive and a victim. Thank you that through the power of Jesus Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, Once again, I can bow before you this morning and put my life into your hands, Lord Jesus, and receive not only your forgiveness, but your deliverance. And thank you for your mighty power, the same power that raised you from the tomb, enthroned you in glory. Thank you that we could say with the Apostle Paul, I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in this body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And so, Holy Spirit, fill me, empower me, anoint me, consecrate me to Jesus and to his service, so that I may focus on Jesus, so that I may give my energies to obeying the commission of Jesus to go into the world and to make disciples. Help me to love you with all my heart and mind and soul and strength, dear Lord. Help me to love my neighbor as I love myself, and help me to love my brothers and sisters in the body of Christ just as you love me and gave yourself for me. And deliver me, I pray, from every shred of jealousy and envy and covetousness. We pull down that stronghold in the name of Jesus and pray, reign, King Jesus, reign. Let your kingdom come. Reign over me. Reign over my mind and its thoughts. Reign over my heart and its desires. Reign over my soul and its passions. And grant, dear Lord, that you would reign over my body and all of its lusts. And grant that Christ may be formed in me as you change me from one degree of glory to another into the likeness of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for the triumph of the cross. Thank you for the victory of the empty tomb, and thank you for the power of Pentecost, the gift of the Holy Spirit, who empowers us as your disciples to be witnesses in the world, who can be faithful and fruitful. Let it be so in each of our lives, we pray. Take our lives and consecrate us to yourself. Use us, Lord, in your service. And grant, dear Lord, that we may so abide in Christ and he in us, that there will be more and more fruit, lasting fruit, for your glory, for all eternity. Thank you that you have a divine purpose for each of our lives, a wonderful plan not only for time, but for all eternity. Thank you for Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. And so now to him who is able to keep us from falling, and to present us blameless before his glorious presence with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and for evermore. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with you all. Amen.
Prostrate fall, bring forth the royal.